Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 572 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Huntsberger, joined once again this week by Chad Smart. And Chad, how are things going this week?
We're recording this the day after the World Series, so the Dodgers are your repeat champions, and my car is intact, so that's a good thing.
That's always
heard some fireworks last night, but didn't really see any craziness, I'm sure. Closer to Dodger Stadium in downtown, there were probably something, but it was actually kind of peaceful.
Yeah, with it being away, maybe that kind of helped too.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
That doesn't matter in Los Angeles. You know, you got to have a reason to go out, and especially, I guess, coming after the day after Halloween too.
And oh, yeah.
Dio de los Muertos. I Muertos. Totally butchered that. Yeah.
Muertos. Look at my shirt. Dios de los Muertos. Minored in Spanish. Did you know that?
I did not, but I heard you had a Spanish minor.
Oh, man. That was good. That was good.
Just kidding. That was a joke, everyone. Take it easy. Yes.
That was a joke. It's November, so you know what else that means. If you're watching, you see it's gobbledygooker season. I have excuses to bring out gobbledygooker and have some fun with that, which I also want to plug it now. I want to, the last week of November, be the Survivor Series podcast where we get our listeners and viewers to throw out team ideas like we did last year. It was the first time we did it. I liked it. I had fun doing it, so I want to do it again. And so throw out your different wrestling related themes or, you know, whatever. And Chad and I will then do the blind drawing and then we'll pick and figure out whose teams would survive in these kinds of matches. So it's kind of fun and nostalgic for me being a old school Survivor Series nerd. And we'll talk more old school stuff in a little bit. But Chad, I know we've been doing these blind rankings.
Well, before we get there, I want to jump in real quick. Because your gobbledygooker made me think of this. I showed you on Halloween, I went trick-or-treating at the tattoo parlor and got some new ink. And I've been trying to get you to break down and get your first. And, you know, I've always said you either need to get a Smurf or the Golden Girls, one of the two. But I'm thinking maybe a gobbledygooker tattoo would be.
I wonder if I could incorporate Gooker, Smurfs, and Golden Girls into one tattoo.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that could make that fever dream come true.
Yes. We'll have to. You got a Ninja Turtle. Which one is it?
I got Donatello because that's the one voiced by Corey Feldman. So it's the best Ninja Turtle.
Were you a big Ninja? Because I mean, I had a friend who was obsessed with them, and I knew who they were. I could name them all, but I couldn't name per the mask color. So. I would fail at any of that kind of stuff. Were you?
I wasn't a huge fan. I was a fan, and this was more of when I went to the tattoo place to see what their offerings were for the Halloween special. It was a very small tattoo shop, and the only person there was the owner. And while I was looking through the flash pages, he was standing probably like 3 feet away from me and was talking to me, and I don't do well with peer pressure and guilt. So I felt like I couldn't just walk away as I've done like the last two times on Friday the 13th, when there's actually been other people there so I can stick out. But
right.
So I went through the page like three times trying to find something. And I figured Ninja Turtle head fits in with my 80s motif that I have going on. So, but he was like, what are you looking for? And I'm like, well, I get all these Instagram ads for tattoo places in New Jersey and Florida and places that don't help me. But a lot of them had like Peanuts inspired Halloween stuff, like Snoopy as a mummy. And I was like, I was looking for something like that, but I got a turtle instead.
There you go.
Yeah. But anyway, yes. Blind rankings. I do have one for you because we are at the beginning of November, and I don't know if Movember is still a thing or if that died.
I think it is.
Is it? I didn't know if that fad was over. Growing a mustache to remind you of your colon. I think if you have a hairy colon, you've got bigger problems probably. But so I thought, in the spirit of Movember, let's blind rank wrestling mustaches.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Now, I will say, just to get everything out, I did not include Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Because I figured he would probably be your number one. And if I started with him, then you rank him at number one, and then the rest of the rankings aren't that exciting. If I don't start him with number one, then you expect him to come up, and if he doesn't. So I wanted to give you a level playing field and tell you there is no Hulk Hogan.
Okay, I like it.
All right, we're going to start off. I guess the NWA's wannabe Hulk Hogan, Magnum TA.
Oh, he had a good mustache. He had a solid mustache. I'm going to put Magnum at number two.
Number two, okay. Ravishing Rick Rude.
Another solid mustache. And these guys are all known and remembered for their mustaches. So I'll put Ravishing Rick at number two.
You already put...
I'm sorry, number three. Number three.
All right. One that, you know, newer fans might have to look up because he was only around for a short time in WWE or WWF, but Big Bully Busick.
Oh, a solid mustache. And if I'm ranking just on the mustache or the performer as well, I feel like I got to include the total package with it. So I'm going to put him at four.
Four. Okay, Lex Luger did not have a mustache, so just the next one is a combo because they shared a mustache. That would have been really awkward, but
would be number one then.
But I'm going with Triple H and Harley Race with the mutton chop mustache.
Okay. You know, I don't personally like that look, so I'm gonna put that at number five.
I agree with you. I think it's a kind of a goofy look myself. And then the last one, which will go for your number one, Dashing Cody Rhodes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm fine with that. I mean, it's interesting with Cody and kind of the dashing gimmick and then the other things that he did. Because was dashing part of the when he had the broken nose and wore the face mask too?
I think it was around that time, but I don't think they were together.
Okay. Yeah. He kind of went through some different incarnations.
Yeah.
So, was that a car outside?
That was a car outside. Okay. Yes.
I thought you had.
Again, celebrations from World Series.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. And I've got one coming up that I was going to save for maybe that week of Survivor Series that I do. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I dig the blind rankings. So that was good. That was
good. Right. Yeah. So, and then another quick question. This is my tangent segue. Has nothing to do with wrestling, but. We're old enough. Remember when ZZ Top got popular?
Yes.
And they got popular mainly, or not mainly, but one of the things that helped them was the beards, you know? And now like, it seems like every band has one guy with a giant beard. And so it's just a cultural thing that I noticed when I was watching Corrosion of Conformity a couple weeks ago, and they had a guy with a big bushy beard. I'm like, that's just, they took ZZ Top's gimmick away from them.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it does kind of translate into wrestling too, because there's a lot of guys who are now known for their beards, like Brian, or you know, Bray Wyatt was famous for his beard, and plenty of superstars or wrestlers through the years have grown them and have developed them. But I liked the mustache idea. That was good, Chad. That was a good Movember, something to remember.
So I guess we should also, you know, if we're going to say Movember, just remember that colon cancer, serious issue. And if you're over the age of 45, be sure to get your colonoscopy.
Is Movember, and I'm not trying to contradict you or I thought it was prostate cancer.
That was a prostate?
For men's well, health.
But I consider the prostate and the colon close enough together.
They're in the same neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to check them both the same, so.
Yeah, one's just done with the Moon River, and the other is.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, yeah. Let's get out of this disaster here. And so, obviously, over the weekend was Saturday night's main event. I thought it started at 7 o'clock Central Time, so I wasn't paying any attention. And at 10 after six, I just happened to Google it to make sure. And then I saw that it had started at six my time. So quickly turned it on and caught the Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre match.
I was going to say, if you're only 10 minutes late, you probably didn't miss anything.
No. Usually they kick it off with Jesse Ventura and Joe Testatore. Yeah. I didn't know Jesse at all. Was he on a part of that?
I didn't see him. No.
I wondered if he was done after the whole last Saturday night's main event. So, which I think this was the first one since Goldberg's last match.
I think so.
Any big takeaways for you from this? I think it was a pretty paint by numbers vibe for me. Everyone won that I thought would win. There were no major surprises. I think maybe Cena's announcement, which we're going to talk about here, probably more in depth for the meat of this show, we'll get to in a few minutes. But any you know, Jade Cargill winning the women's championship, you know, Dominic Dirty Dom retains. I thought he might have been on your I was saving him for last. So, but any big surprises? I mean, I think I kind of expected Punk to win.
I
didn't realize the severity of Seth Rollins' injury. That I knew that he had vacated the title, but kind of sucks the way that whole thing played out with the cash in and all that, and then to see it kind of come to an end as quickly as it did. But
yeah, karma, man, it gets you. Start, you know, pretending to you have an injury, and karma is going to be like, no, you want an injury? I'll give you an injury. Yeah. This was, I believe, the first Saturday night's main event that was strictly on Peacock. It was not broadcast on NBC as well. And I think that helped the show because
I do too.
There were no commercial breaks. So you actually got to see the show.
Hmm. Watching it live, there were commercial breaks.
Were there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then that's why you always watch things.
Yeah.
Later, and don't pay attention to what's actually going on.
But it wasn't nearly like they have been.
Mm-hmm.
When it was on NBC, I felt like they were going to break every few minutes, which this was more spread out.
Okay.
With the break, but yeah, they still had break.
I mean, like during the matches themselves, or
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I thought they broke it one. Maybe they were after each match. Now I'm second guessing myself.
All right. But yeah, so I thought that was a plus. Jade Cargill, Tiffany Stratton. Apparently Tiffany is injured as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's legit or kayfabe. Jade Cargill, I still don't see her as champion. Because I don't think she's been, it's kind of like, you know, my issue that I had with Cody when he came back. It's like, they haven't really focused on her enough outside of a few matches for me to believe, like, I believe she can be champion, mm-hmm. but I don't know if it's going to be a good title reign, if that makes sense. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And I just was thinking the other day about how, you know, in the last, what has it been, 3 months where, like you said, Seth's injured. If Tiffany's injured, Naomi, you know, with her pregnancy, can have a 2-on-1 title defense. But these title changes that are happening due to outside forces, it's an awkward position. It puts WWE in the awkward position because then you're having champions that weren't in the plans, maybe. You know, I think like CM Punk winning champion, I think that would have happened eventually, but do they rush it? And how is that going to alter things going forward? So,
yeah. Yeah. I kind of suspected we were going to get Punk Rollins in some form or fashion at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. perhaps. And Punk finally getting that moment. What are your thoughts on CM Punk? You know, I know I've been hot and cold with him. I don't dislike him. I think that he, this run with him, I feel like he's maybe getting some of that respect or that credibility that he felt like he deserved when he was there the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, was Punk an example of one of those guys like Cody, like Drew McIntyre, who had to leave, change things up a bit and come back, grow as a person? You know, because then you look at guys like Roman Reigns or John Cena or The Miz, who have mm-hmm. only been under the WWE umbrella, at least for the bulk of their careers. I guess it just depends on the person, because Cody, mm-hmm. had he stayed, we may still be having Stardust matches, you know, 10 years after he decided yeah. he didn't want to do that anymore. So I do think there is some credence in leaving and not necessarily, you know, getting released from WWE is definitely not the end of the world, as we've seen with those guys that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. but also Zack Ryder or now Matt Cardona, you know. So it's not necessarily the end of your career if you get let go by the biggest company in the world.
Yeah. No, I think there is something to that. And back to your point about CM Punk, I've been a huge CM Punk fan since the indies, since mm-hmm. seeing him in TNA and Ring of Honor and IWA Mid-South. I think, you know, and as the resident AEW mark on this show, I think he needed to go to AEW first, but then I think he needed to end up in WWE. Like, I think he needed to come back to AEW just to get to see that the fans still cared and yeah. get that love of wrestling back. But then WWE is where he needed to, I guess, make amends and, like you said, get that respect that he wasn't shown before, and to show that he had grown. You know, I think Triple H said it in the Unreal show. He's like, you know, there were times over the last couple of years where we would have conversations and you could tell he was still the same CM Punk that walked out 2014. Like he needed to mature. Now, again, it's Unreal, but how right. real is that sentiment, and how is it playing into the storyline of what they want to sell you? But I think he's a better fit in WWE. For me personally, that means I'm not that invested in him, because as I've talked about on the show many times, there's just something in WWE's presentation that doesn't connect with me. And so CM Punk is just, he's there, but it's like, yeah, okay, he's there. It's fine. I don't know where AJ Lee disappeared to after her one match. I don't know if he sent her home to watch after Larry, but again, I think he was going to be champion at some point. And we'll see where that goes. But I do think like maybe winning at WrestleMania would have given him that moment that mm-hmm. he was looking for. But at least we don't have to yeet as a championship anymore. So,
yeah, I almost, and I stopped myself, but I almost at the end of that match said, cue the Rikishi tweet in 3-2. I didn't. Yeah.
I will say real quick with that match, I was expecting, and this is again personal thing where I can't blame WWE for not doing what I want and then saying it's bad.
Right.
But I was expecting Jimmy to show up at some point or something to have, like the match was pretty much just a straightforward match. So I was expecting something. I don't like how CM Punk does the go to sleep and then he falls to his knees and the guy bounces off the ropes and comes back and yeah. land. I think he did that in one match against Seth maybe, or at WrestleMania. And it looked good because it was like the first time, but now it's every match. Yeah.
Go to. Yeah. No, I agree. I kind of thought the same, because I think he did it twice in the match on mm-hmm. Saturday night's main event as well. So, yeah. You know, back in the day, back in the 90s, the Attitude Era, maybe even a little beyond the Attitude Era, Definitely during the Attitude Era when WCW was around, and Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage and Rowdy Roddy Piper and Kevin Nash were kind of the main event guys that, you know, they're stealing the spotlight. All of those guys, and I didn't look it up before I'm making this statement, so I'm going to assume what I'm saying is real.
Well, we're putting this on the internet, so it's going to be true.
They were all younger than CM Punk is right now. They were younger than John Cena is right now. Probably not much older than Roman and Cody and Seth. I don't know how old Hangman Adam Page is, but have fans transitioned from the age thing being such a factor? Because I can remember people thinking Hogan was old at, you know, in his late 30s, early 40s. And he looked, you know, and again, we've talked about this before. People in the 80s, celebrities in general, if you look at the cast of Cheers, for example, Kelsey Grammer was 29 and was balding. So they all looked so much older.
Yeah.
I think that they're staying in better shape. And so, you know, Chris Jericho is 54, 55. You know, Dustin Rhodes is in his mid-50s. Does the age thing matter anymore to fans, do you think?
I don't think, like you said, because they don't look old, you know, we've joked about it before. Like Earthquake was what, 27 when he was feuding, and you know, and I would have guessed him at like 39.
Right.
And part of that is just being younger ourselves and thinking anyone over the age of, you know, 30 is old.
Right.
And now we're in our 50s ourselves. And we're like, oh no, 50s. Yeah. Yes. Where's my casket? I need to retire. But I think that's part of it, is that they don't look as old, or we've just accepted gray hair to be more of a midlife, you know, 30s and 40s thing aspect. Because my CM Punk does have the gray in the beard, but I also think that the athleticism is also better, so that plays into being more entertained. And you know, for me, the aspect isn't so much age. I think it's, and I've said this about The Miz, when you have a guy that's only been in one company for 20 years, that to me is more of a turnoff than an age thing, because it's just like, okay, I've seen you for 20 years. You've done the same thing over and over. That's where I think guys need to go outside of WWE every so often, or disappear for a year or two, like Chris Jericho does, and then comes back, and you have to freshen it up.
Yeah.
But I do, I mean, speaking of Chris Jericho, and not to speak ill of anyone, but because karma again is a bitch, but you know, in his last year in AEW, he wasn't delivering the way that he was when he first came in. And, you know, he had put on some weight, which, again, 54 years old, you can't blame him, you know, it's just how it is. So it'll be interesting when he comes back to WWE, which I fully expect him to be there by the Rumble, how the fans will react. And will it just be the, hey, we're glad to see you back in WWE, you still got it, even if he botches a move? Or will they, you know, will they turn on him because of, well, whatever reason the internet comes up with that week?
Yeah. It'll be interesting. And I think there were a lot of people, again, this is where we've talked before about what we expect as fans and then what the reality turns out being. And I do feel like this was kind of I'm on board with this kind of being a disappointment or a letdown. We saw the video of the feet walking saw it. Twitter, I'm sure it was on all social media channels, but you know, there was speculation of what WWE was doing. You know, is this Chris Jericho? Who is this? You know, and then I guess the big reveal was it was the spot for the WrestleMania 42 commercial with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes and Triple H and CM Punk. So yeah, I was hoping it was going to lead to it, but I think everybody jumped on board and immediately thought Chris Jericho. So And on one hand, I'm kind of glad, okay, it's not Chris Jericho. It's not what everybody expected. So you can't, you know, because last night I saw on social media, you know, oh, so predictable when Jade Cargill won the women's championship, for example. And it's like, yeah, things can be predictable, but I think it's still, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ, look at Titanic. We all know how that movie ends. The boat hits the iceberg and sinks.
Did we know that Kate Winslet was going to be a horrible person and not let Jack up on the door?
Well, she didn't let Jack off, so that's probably better. But you know what I mean? It's like, we know, you know, there are things that we know how they're going to end, but it's how we get there. And I, you know, I didn't think the match, not to harp on the match aspect of it, but I don't think predictable is necessarily a bad thing. It's how you get there, how you tell that story. We used to do the drawing, or not the drawing, but the prediction thing on the My123Cents Facebook group. There were several. One year, I mean, here's my big flex. The year that I picked the men and women's Royal Rumble winners and the winners of all the undercard matches, I didn't enjoy that match or that show any less because I picked the winners. Again, it's the journey to get there. And I think a lot of times the people that bitch about stuff being predictable are the ones that are kind of those, what do they call on the fans that are so extreme on either side, tribalist, you know, that they're going to defend AEW on this, but then bash WWE for this or vice versa, bash AEW and then defend WWE when they do something similar. So it's that tribalism, I think, that irritates me with fans. And that's a whole nother tangent sidetrack there. So I apologize.
I agree with you. I think because, I mean, you talk about movie, you talk about Titanic, but you watch any movie and unless it's a movie that is trying to, you know, be different, you all know how pretty much after that first act, after act one, you know where act three is going to end up.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And there are movies where they get to act three and you're like, well, that was dumb. But that's because how you got there wasn't good.
Yeah.
And other movies, you know, like the Apple, you get to act three and you're like, what the hell just happened? That totally went off the rails. but yeah, it's that you have to allow yourself the suspension of disbelief first off in wrestling, you know, because again, they're not, I don't know if you saw the video. I think it was from SummerSlam or somewhere. They had like the punching, you know, you punch the thing to see how hard you punch. And John Cena goes up and throws a huge punch and the thing doesn't even move. And he's like, yeah, I haven't hit anybody for real in 25 years. I don't, you know, so wrestling is not real in that sense, but we still enjoy it because of the action, because of the story. And, you know, you and I have talked and I've been critical of some storylines because the way they get there isn't entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on the internet, you know, that's just like, I think it's more when things don't make sense where you're like, wait, why did he do this? Not because, oh, he didn't do what I wanted him to do or what I expected, but because it's like, okay, he was feuding with this person and now all of a sudden the attention's over here. You know, I don't have a good example off the top of my head to mention, but I think, you know, again, social media has been the downfall of society and my cynical views. And so I think it's better, and maybe it's better for clicks. Maybe Eric Bischoff is right that controversy creates cash, because obviously you and I aren't making money off of our social media things where we try to be more positive. But I think people just want the need to complain about something. And unfortunately in our world right now, there's a lot to complain about. So,
you know, and there was something that happened during Saturday Night's Main Event. And now I should have written it down. We've also reached the age where we need Prevagen to remember things like that. That I'm like, you know, watching this without suspending your, you know, like watching it logically, you're like, well, why would you do this? And now I don't remember what the heck it was. But yeah, I do want to throw some props out to AEW because I, you know, as you said, you're the self-proclaimed AEW mark, and I've been probably more critical or more cynical about AEW. I loved the thing they did on Wednesday night with Adam Page and Samoa Joe and Samoa Joe's guys. Rikishi 2.0's guys with the Tony Schiavone costume. Yeah. I thought it was clever. And but I saw people shitting on it online, and I'm like, go figure. But
yeah, I mean, it was clever, but I think the way they got there was very convoluted. And so I can see the criticism, but again, it's that suspend disbelief that this worked and just be
right,
entertained that they did something we haven't seen in, you know, several years.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but was it last year that Paige was in the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
I don't know if it was last year or the year before, or it may have been a few years ago. I don't
know. Okay. I was kind of hoping that this was going to be kind of like almost like a Kofi Kingston spot in the world, where every year we see Adam Page do some sort of Halloween costume chicanery, because I did like that and I thought it was clever. And at first I didn't see, I saw them kind of out of sequence, the clips that I saw. And then I finally saw like the whole segment, and to me it worked, and, you know, but there were people that were complaining about it, as you would expect. So.
I mean, for me, it was like, because I'd watched the show, not live. I watched it later, which I don't read spoilers. I come home Wednesday night and then I still watch it that night. So I only saw by fast forwarding, I think I only saw the people in the costumes like maybe once prior to that last segment. And then I'm like, when they're bringing them out, so this is where the Christmas, I'm like, why are these people dressed up? They have nothing, that has nothing to do with what's going on. With, you know, why do they have to be dressed up in costume to bring out a contract for Samoa Joe to sign? You know, why not have Tony Schiavone already have the contract? And also my question is, why do they have to sign the contract right after the match? That they don't do that any other time.
Right.
So.
So wrestling contract thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, how come some matches have to sign a public contract and other matches are just, they can be made on the fly and they happen during a show, you know? I thought, and especially having Tony Schiavone keep talking and making it look like Hangman was, and again, that the way they framed it, you couldn't really see him until he spoke his line and then came out. And I did also think it was a cool callback to Halloween Havoc 89 or 90, where Schiavone dressed up like Phantom of the Opera.
It would have had to have been 90, because he was in WWE in 89.
Okay.
So, yeah, 90 or 91. I'm going
to. Now, I fully expect Samoa Joe to kick Tony Schiavone's ass this week for setting him up like that.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to pick your brain on one more thing, and then we'll get to the John Cena. Okay. So I'm sure you've seen the image online. It's Cody Rhodes, it's CM Punk, it's Jade Cargill, Ricky Saint. It's those four. I don't think there's anyone else in that
picture. No, that's for those four. Yeah. Yeah. It's all the AEW guys.
Yeah. That's former AEW competitors, now at WWE Championships. And then someone pointed out Blake Monroe isn't pictured in there, because I guess she won. Did she win the Women's North American Championship or the Women's?
I think it's North American.
I feel like the internet, of course, is making a bigger deal out of it than necessary. You know, blaming Tony, you know, Tony Khan's fails, you know, blah, blah, blah. Tony Khan fumbled these people, whatever the argument is. And maybe is Ethan Page?
He's North American.
Or did he lose to Ricky Stark or Ricky Saint?
No, he's still won champ. I think he's North American, because he was at Halloween Havoc last week. He defended against one of the AAA guys, Dr. Wagner Jr. Senior Festival, whatever.
So we see major champions in WWE who were once in AEW, which, I mean, obviously we saw that at one point when, you know, Mox or Jericho, you know, Cody were champions in AEW. I don't find it to be a big deal, but fans seem to make a big deal about it. Do you have a thought either way on that? And did they take that picture to kind of put that narrative out there?
My thing is, yeah, if you want to be sarcastic about it, it's like, oh, look at these AEW cast-offs that are now, you know. I think more for Ricky Saints and Ethan Page, it's like, hey, being friends with Cody Rhodes is a good thing, because again, I don't watch NXT on a regular. So Ricky Saints, when he was Ricky Starks, was someone that when I saw him in the NWA, I thought had potential. When he came into AEW, I thought he had potential. What I've seen from him in NXT, I'm just like, yeah, okay. But again, I'm not seeing him on the regular. Mm-hmm. I don't know this story. To me, that photo is more of a update of the one from 15 years ago when it was Zach and Kofi and Punk and, you know, yeah, Evan Bourne all having championships. And I think because Jade and Punk both won their titles on the show, it was just a, you know, champions pro call. Again, why Ricky Saints is in the photo when he wasn't on the show. Good friends with Cody, I guess. But I don't really, again, not going to make a big deal out of, because it's just a prop. It's just a belt, you know, it doesn't mean anything.
True, true. Well, something that does have some meaning, and I told my wife, because, you know, over the weekend, we didn't really have big plans. We did go out and I did a burger review on Saturday afternoon, but Saturday night I said, hey, I would like to watch Saturday night's main event tonight. And then I said, and on December 13th, I would also like to be home, because I do want to watch Cena's last match live. And we don't know yet who that opponent's going to be. Maybe after this tournament, I'll change my mind and not care. But John Cena announced via video that there's going to be a tournament, and I guess they're announcing the brackets Monday night on Raw, or that's where we're led to believe. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that got people buzzing was the line about, you know, past opponents, opponents that I haven't faced before, and maybe even some guys that aren't here or in this company, which of course has led to more speculation of Edge or Cope. I still, in my heart of hearts, don't think it's going to be him. It'll be interesting to see what they do, if they have any. I'm trying to think of guys from Cena's past that aren't around in WWE anymore, unless it is someone like Jericho, which I don't really remember he and Jericho having a whole lot. I know they wrestled, but I don't remember there being a ton of, not like the Edge feud, obviously. So I guess my first question to you is, What are your thoughts on the tournament concept? Because by and large, tournaments, when I was a kid, I liked them a lot more than I do as an adult. I think they're kind of, especially because they seemingly zip through them, or they don't, you know, the WrestleMania 4 tournament and then the Deadly Games from Survivor Series 98 are probably, in my opinion, two of the better tournaments ever. Of course, JCP had the Jim Crockett Memorial Tag Team Tournament Cup, which I enjoyed that as a kid too. But, you know, nowadays, what are your thoughts on the tournament concept for this to determine Cena's final opponent?
Well, first off, we have to acknowledge that by doing a tournament, WWE is just ripping off Tony Khan, because I mean, AEW actually does have their tournament, their women's tag team title tournament going on right now, but they seem to come up with a new tournament every 6 weeks. I think the problem with tournaments today is the predictability factor that we're talking about. Like when you see the brackets, I would think 9 times out of 10, you could predict what the final two are going to be.
Yeah.
And so I would hope that this Cena tournament will be a little bit more up in the air. And again, have some surprises, have some upsets thrown in.
Yeah.
You know, for, I don't, again, I just don't see Edge being there. And I think, again, I think that line, like you said, was there to get people talking. You know, I would think maybe it will be a Jericho, who's technically not in the company, you know, right now, or will be some AAA guys that, you know, I don't know how they classify. Are they in WWE or are they strictly AAA? I know it won't happen, but I would like to see Big Show come back. That was probably next to Angle, who obviously isn't going to be coming back. Big Show is probably the guy that put Cena on that trajectory to go to the top. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would like to see, I would like to see Zack Ryder or Matt Cardona get his, you know, and I think he's angled for a match at Madison Square Garden, which will be Cena's last time at MSG. You know, I think there's an, again, the indie talent that's out there, because I don't watch the indies like I used to, there's nobody that I can really think of that would be like, oh my gosh, if they brought this guy in, it would be huge. Mm-hmm. I think the only ones that they could do that are ex-WWE guys. So,
right. Well, and it kind of goes back.
Hornswoggle it is.
Yeah. Well, we talked a while back too about, you know, going to see a band and do we want to hear their new stuff or do we want them to play the hits? And I think I know I did. I lean towards playing the hits, and that's kind of how Cena's farewell tour has been. I've been more comfortable seeing Randy Orton and CM Punk and R-Truth, those guys, you know, rekindling those things. The final match, does it need to be going out as the victor? Does it need to be someone that he's, you know, because there was also the line in that package about the tournament of, you know, I want my last match to be like someone taking the opportunity like I did before my first match, and they show him coming out and confronting Kurt Angle. So is this really truly going to be built as a torch passing moment? Because Edge is not that guy. And if I had to pick, I would want it to be Edge. But if it's not going to be Edge and we're not passing a torch, then it needs to be Braun Breaker or Dominic Mysterio or, you know, Mr. Iguana. I'm hitting there, but I mean, it needs to be someone that can then, you know, take that credibility to the next level and not like they kind of fumbled Baron Corbin with Kurt Angle's last match. So truly this could be like that ending the Undertaker streak moment where I don't know that Brock Lesnar needed to be the guy to do that. But when he did that, he went on a bigger trajectory than I think we thought he was going to be on when he came back. So I'm still torn. I don't want it to be Gunther. I just, again, have not connected with him as a fan.
Yeah. And I don't think Gunther needs it.
Yeah.
Like you said, if it's going to be that passing of the torch, I think Gunther has already proven himself enough in WWE. And even, you know, I think speculation is Cena will face Dominic Mysterio at Survivor Series because that's in Dom's hometown.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even though Dom is IC champion and mega world champion, that him beating Cena would do more for him than Gunther beating Cena do for Gunther. And real quick, I don't know if you've heard the conspiracy that the reason Brock beat Taker was to take attention away from Daniel Bryan winning the title at WrestleMania 30.
Really? I had not heard that.
Yeah. It's on the internet. So obviously, again, true. but yeah, I think unless they can get Edge or Big Show or, and I'm trying to think of who else, you know, maybe, I mean, probably they should have saved Cena and Orton for that final match just because they have such a history of matches, the number of matches they've had. That would have been a good way to end. But like you said, does Cena need to win? Should he go out on his, you know, and this is why I don't know. For me, I don't care that much about that last match because, I said a few weeks ago on the show, I would rather see that Saturday Night's main event be a tribute to Cena than actually having a match. Like, let's acknowledge the career more than the match. I think that would be more emotional than a match will be.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see what else is happening that night. And again, you know, we talk about it all the time. We just got to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm hoping that the tournament is over by set, and it's not a case where it's like the finals happen and the opening match of Saturday Night's main event, and then the main event is Cena versus that.
The finals being ending on the Raw or SmackDown that week, and then you're like, okay, the finals are over, and now we're going straight to the match. Like, give it a time, at least a week to kind of be hyped up.
You know, I also saw, you know, the school of thought where Dominic and Cena wrestle at Survivor Series, and Cena wins the IC title because that's the one belt eluding him from the Grand Slam Championship. I don't know that I like that idea either, because in the last match, that person, if they beat Cena, they get the IC belt and they end, or, you know, they're Cena's last match. And I think putting a title in there just convolutes the in my opinion, the prestige of it being Cena's last match. Like people, because again, I don't think Cena's coming back for Saudi money down the road. I don't think he's going to get in there and we'll see him again on TV, but I don't think he's getting back in the ring. I think that December 13th, 2025 will truly be his final match. And I think that needs to be something that is celebrated, and that is, you know, that torch passing, I'm leaning now, I guess, towards a torch passing moment where, this was the guy that did it. Yeah. Or I guess girl, I mean, maybe they'll put Nia Jax in there. I don't know. but I don't tease me. Yeah. I view it as a probably a bigger deal than I'm hoping WWE does that too, because I do think that Cena is one of those goats where, you know, they weren't able to do that for Hulk Hogan. They weren't able to do that for the Macho Man. They weren't able to do that for, I guess, The Rock is technically still, and I guess he's a factor in this too, but I don't know. He's working on movies. So maybe Rock is a non-factor in all of this. It'll be interesting to see for sure. I'm looking forward to it. Again, there's that anticipation and that buildup of not knowing. And, you know, we talk about wrestling being predictable, but really we've thrown out three or four names that are legitimate, viable contenders to be that. Yeah. So I like that part of it too. And I guess after Monday, when we see the brackets, we'll probably have a better idea.
Well, I was going to say, do you think there will be a question mark entry into the brackets just to get people, again, speculating, and then Gilbert comes out?
Yeah. And you know, and it's funny that you bring up Gilbert, because I do like the fact that with the Deadly Games tournament, for example, you know, I was in my 20s when that happened, and I had no idea who was going to win that. And I liked the Shane McMahon, you know, screwing Stone Cold over. And then of course I maybe not totally tying it to the Montreal Screwjob, but you know, the double turn with the Rock behind in the main event. I loved all of that. And then even as a teenager watching WrestleMania tournament, I mean, I had picked Bam Bam Bigelow to go all the way, and
he got
round one. So it was an interesting time, I guess, as a fan, where you didn't know for sure. You didn't have the internet doing things or spoiling things for you.
Yeah. Like I said, the bad thing with Deadly Game, which I was in attendance and it was an awesome night, is that made us think that Vince Russo was actually a good writer, because that had been set up over the course of a couple of months, and it was perfect storytelling. Which then that again has seemed to go away, and now everything is on the fly.
What if Cena enters the tournament and then he doesn't have to wrestle anybody?
I don't know.
Or Juan Cena enters the tournament.
We haven't seen Juan Cena in a while. So my question to you would be, you know, you said you don't think Cena will step back in the ring. Given his availability, if he's free, will he be inducted into the Hall of Fame next year?
I don't, you know, it seemed, I could see it happening, but the way they kind of,
I mean, they've already got Stephanie, so they've already got their main event. Yeah, so
I was going to say they've got, they had presented Stephanie as being kind of the main event, announcing it this early on, which, you know, I have different feelings about that too, but I could see them waiting, because I think a lot of people thought that Bray Wyatt was going to get inducted right after his death, because that's what they did with Eddie Guerrero, which, you know, I guess in that, you know, looking back on it, it made sense. You know, there was still that emotion, and they were riding the wave of
Ray. Well, yeah, they totally exploited his death with Ray's winning. So
I don't know. I think, you know, you've talked before about it being what, you've said 5 years, I think.
5 years.
You know, with Edge, you know, we saw it come pretty quick. And, I kind of go back and forth on, A, you want them to be there for the induction, you know, yeah. like physically able to stand at the podium and talk and not be, you know, in a wheelchair or, you know, in some cases we've seen the posthumous inductions where don't have the same feel. You know, I would have much rather seen Macho Man Randy Savage receive the accolades while he was here and go with him, and give a great speech, man. But we didn't get that. And so, not that John Cena's knocking at death's door, but I would like to see him get inducted at some point. And you know, with everything going to Saudi in 2027, it's going to be interesting to see how they work all of the WrestleMania week activities. You know, they do all that stuff there as well. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting setup for all of that too. I guess the short answer is, I wouldn't hate it if they inducted him in 2026, John Cena. But again, he's kind of like The Undertaker, where I felt like he could have just been that single induction, you know, and kind of had that spotlight on him. Triple H was the one from this year that, you know, with the number of folks that they're putting in, and yeah, sometimes it does feel like they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. They could do a couple of years where they just do one or two big names. Yeah. Call it a day. Like I like how TNA their Hall of Fame, where they do one or two talents, and I know this year they had a couple more with Mickey James and the Beautiful People going in. But anyway, I'm kind of sidetracked there. But yeah, I see it being maybe Joe Hendry is in the tournament now. Talking about TNA, I forget about the TNA factor.
Oh yeah, well yeah, I forgot about TNA too. Yeah, so I get, and I, now that you mentioned that, that screams to me that would be the likely people that don't work here.
But
I was also just thinking, you know, like they did for, and I can't remember who it was, but if they do on that last Saturday Night's Main Event, do like video packages as a tribute leading up to the match, is that a way possibly where we see Edge and Big Show and guys that aren't with the company but want to, you know, give Cena his flowers, as the kids say these days?
Yeah, I could see that being plausible. I don't know, like Tony Khan, obviously he's a businessman. I mean, this is his company, and he's also a wrestling fan. So do you do what's best for business, or do you do what's best as a fan? You know, because would WWE, if the roles were reversed and Dustin, for example, say Dustin has his last match, would WWE allow Cody to cut a video or to be a part of Dustin Rhodes' last match? I would have loved to have seen Dustin at WrestleMania the year that Cody won the belt. I know he was there backstage, but, you know, that's where I think sometimes the tribalism with wrestling and kind of the, you know, one time only, or, you know, a one-off, who cares? You know, if Dustin was shown in the crowd, or when it was Ric Flair's last match, I think Lex Luger was doing something contractually with WWE at the time, and they couldn't.
So they couldn't show him. Yeah.
You know, who cares? It's really, and I feel like they've made some headway with that, with TNA being, you know, working with TNA and AAA and all those. So, but I get it. I get Tony Khan wanting to protect his, I don't want to say intellectual property, but, you know, his investment. His stars and whatnot. So I get it. I don't be, if Tony Khan said, fuck no, I'm not doing this. You know, you're not getting my guy. I wouldn't begrudge him for that, because I don't know that Triple H or Vince McMahon back in the day or Dixie Carter would have done the same thing, you know? So they're doing what they think is in the best interest of their company. And I can't blame them for wanting to protect that. But on the same hand, I'm like, Who cares? One time shot is not going to hurt anything, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think had they moved Saturday Night's Main Event to be opposite the AEW pay-per-view in two weeks later, like they are rumored to have tried to do. Yeah. Maybe then Tony would be like, well, hell no, I'm not, you know, helping you. But since they're on different nights, and if you promote it, you know, if you stipulate it, like, okay, you can show Cope, but you have to promote, you know, World's End in 2 weeks on pay-per-view. You know, that's a stipulation. But again, it's business. you and I are not businessmen in that degree. We're just fans. So for me, it's like, who cares? Like you said, who cares? You know, if you show me someone on a video package from another company, it's not going to make me go like, oh, I'm going to go watch that company and stop watching WWE. It's going to be like, oh, hey, these are two guys that know each other that are, you know, have a history, and you're acknowledging that. And you know, and that's one of the problems we had with up through the Attitude Era until WWE took out their competition is pretending that other companies don't exist.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, if they stipulated to where the commentators have to put over, you know, Cope is there's a part of AEW and they have a pay-per-view coming, AEW, in my opinion, would have more to gain from that. Just the couple of plugs for that. Because I do think that there is a large contingency of wrestling fans who are just WWE fans who don't even know that AEW or knew that TNA existed before this new era, if you will, in sports entertainment. So I think that on that hand, you know, it may open up some eyes and people to the product that weren't previously watching it or knew that it even existed. So anything else on your mind before we wrap up this week's episode, Chad?
I'm just gonna say, you know, a week from this Wednesday, as this episode drops, is AEW's Blood and Guts, their version of War Games. And for some reason, they're doing both a men's and a women's on their 2-hour Dynamite, unless Dynamite is going to be longer for some reason. Kind of disappointed that they added the men's Blood and Guts match last week. I think they should have just kept it to the women, let the women have the focus. But it'll be interesting to see how much blood is shed. And if anybody falls...
On cable?
Yeah.
Huh.
And we'll see if anybody falls off the cage onto a giant inflatable mat again. So,
yes. Well, we'll tune in for that. Thanks, everyone, for listening and or watching this week's episode. And we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.